Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Ksubayis Daf Nun. We are holding at the third line from the top of the Amud. And we are actually in the midst of a sugya, a Gemara which provides a list of many takanos which were established by the Sanhedrin when they were holding court in the town of Usha. We had one, two yesterday. Today the Gemara will add another three takanos. Amar Rabbi Lo. So the first takana was actually Rabbi Lo, in the name of Rish Lakish, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina. The second takana yesterday was actually one name less. It was only Rabbi Lo in the name of Rish Lakish. Here comes a third takana in the name of simply Rabbi Lo. Amar Bilo Beusha Hiskinu, in the town of Usha. The Sanhedrin, the Chachamim, were masakin as follows. Hamebazbeis, when one distributes his funds for tzedakah, al yebazbeis yosir mechaimish, he should not give away more than a fifth, 20%, of his assets. Tosfos brings in the name of the Yerushalmi. Initially, you may give away 20% of your existing assets, and then subsequently, on a yearly basis, it's going to be 20% of your profits going forward. So the minimum is maaser, of course, 10%, but there is a maximum as well. No more than a chaimish. Tanya nami hachi. We find the same in a braisa. Hamevazbeis. When one distributes his funds to tzedakah, al yevazbeis yosim mechaimish. Not more than a fifth. Why, what's wrong? Why can't I just give as much as I want? Shemu yitzarach lebrius. Because he might give away too much. In which case, he'll have nothing and will become dependent on the community for handouts. In fact, there was a story. There was an individual who indeed wished to give more than a fifth, and his colleague did not allow him. Who was his colleague? Umanoi. His name was Rabbi Yeshevav. There was a different version of the story. Rabbi Yeshevav, he was the one who wanted to distribute too much tzedakah. And his colleague did not allow him. Umanai, who was his colleague, Rabbi Akiva. Amar of Nachman, v'itei mesam seir of Achabar Yaakov. Mikra, where do we find this concept in a pasuk? Yaakov Avinu tells Hashem, v'choil asher titen li, everything that you provide for me, aaser, aasren olach. I will give you maaser, 10%, aaser is 10%, and then he adds the word aasrenu, an additional 10%, for a total of 20%. So the concept of 20% is sourced in a pasuk. The Maharam Shif points out, so although the idea is sourced in a pasuk, we still need takanas usha. What's the purpose of takanas usha if it's already recorded in the Torah? So he says the point was, the pasuk tells us about 20%. What about more than 20%? Perhaps you can. No, you cannot. And that was takanas usha, to present 20% as the maximum amount allowable. So you said aser, 10%, aasrenu, an additional 10% for 20% total. V'haloi dami, isura basra. Well, it doesn't really work out to 20%. Because, you see, you start with 100. Take off 10%, you're down to 90. 10% of 90 is merely 9. So it's a total of 19, 10 that you took off, plus 9. You're not going to have 20% if it's a tenth, and then a tenth from the remainder. Well, it's unequal. Isura basra, the second tenth, which in this case is really only 9, li isura kama, compared to the first 10%, which is really 10. So it's not really a total of 20, if it's done this way, compounded. Omar of Ashi, aasrenu lebasra, ki kama. Yaakov Avinu used the word aasrenu instead of just saying aser aser. Aasrenu, the second 10%, is exactly equal to the first 10%. Aasrenu lebasra, I will take away the, I'll give away the second 10%. Ki kama, just as the first one. They're both of equal value So it's 10 plus 10 for a total of 20%. Amar Rav Simeon bar Rashi, Ushmui Salu. If we pay close attention to the halachis of Usha, the three halachis that we had, two yesterday and one more today, Mismatais v'alchis, you'll notice that the names associated with those halachis are diminishing as we go along. As we mentioned before, the first halacha was a quote of Rabbi Ila in the name of Rish Lakish, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, or some say Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Three names involved. The next halacha, which was Kasru, this fellow who writes, gives away his nachasim, there we cut out a name. It was Rabbi Ila in the name of Rish Lakish. Today's halacha was merely Rabbi Ila, quoting the Takanas Usha. V'simanech, in order to remember which one's what, to remember the sequence, which one's first with the most names, followed by the second one with less names, followed by the third with barely any names, listen to the following formula. Ketanim, that was the first halacha, regarding feeding and supporting children. Kasvu is the second halacha, writing away your assets. Ubiz bezu, that's the third halacha, distributing funds. So it actually has a sort of a ring to it. Ketanim kasvu ubiz bezu, the youngsters wrote away and gave everything away. Amar Yitzchak, here comes another halacha from Usha. B'Usha hiskinu, they were masakin in the Sanhedrin in Usha. Shehi adam mizgalgel in b'noi ad shtei mesrish shana. Although one is meant to try to have his children get involved in Torah learning earlier in life, but take it easy, back off. Mizgalgel, Rashi says, if you see he's having a difficult time getting into learning, be soft and gentle with him. Until when? Until he turns 12. Mikan ve'elach, past that point, push him, pressure him. His time has come. Yered imoy l'chayev, you may even interfere with his life, Rashi says. Strike him and withhold sustenance. You have to actually pressure him to get him on track. Eini, is that the case that you wait that long until 12 years old? V'amar le'Rav, Rav instructed l'Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, who was a Malami Tinoikis, he was a Rebbe, the renowned Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, who established the networks of yeshivas, the first one to establish the concept of yeshivas. Until then, the father used to teach his son, but upon realizing not everybody had that opportunity, he established the concept of yeshivas, where a Rebbe would teach children. So he was the master educator, and Rav gave him instructions. Batzer Rebashis, a child who is below 6 years old, that's too young to push him. Loit to Kabul, don't even accept him into the yeshiva. Bar Shis, once he turns 6, Kabul, do accept him, do admit him. V'safi le'kitura, and feed him like an ox, like a mature adult ox who just eats away. At a young, tender age of 6? Haven't we spoken about 12 years old just a minute ago? In, says the Gemara, yes, that's correct, that's true. There are different levels of feeding and teaching. Safi le ketura, once he turns 6, load him up, feed him, but don't pressure him. Mihu, but still, einoy yoyreit imoy lechayev ad la'achar shtei mes rishana. The concept of yoyreit imoy lechayev, applying pressure, for that you have to wait until he turns 12. And Tosis points out, based on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that there were actually three levels. The Mishnah says, Ben Chumash Lemikra. When he turns 5, start teaching him Chumash. Well, that's just in a soft manner. Teach him a bit, but don't force it upon him. Once he turns 6, then we have the next level, Safi Le Ketura. Load him up. But to actually pressure him, for that you have to wait until he turns a quasi-adult, which is 12 years old, and he's up to that. Another teretz can be, we had a kasha, is it 12, is it 6? Like kasha, the answer is, it depends regarding what subject we're speaking. Halim mikra, when it comes to chumash, that's at an early age. Halim mishnah, in terms of mishnayis, for that you have a little bit more patience. Damar Abaya, as Abaya tells us, Amrali aim. Abaya actually was an orphan from father and mother, so aim is a reference to his caretaker mother. And she would tell me like this, Bar Shis Lamikra. Once he turns 6, that's perfect time for teaching him loads of Chumash. Bar Esra Lamishna. When it comes to Mishnayis, you're going to wait a bit more until he turns 10. Bar Tleisa Latanisa Meis Leis. Once he's 13, and Tosfos learns, it means that he's within the 13th year, so he's 12 and a bit, not yet bar mitzvah. L'tanisa meis leis, you start introducing him to a full day fasting when required. U'betinoikis bas treisar, regarding a girl when she enters the 12th year. So clearly, when it comes to Mishnayis, you need to wait a bit. You need to have a bit of patience until he develops his maturity and he's able to tolerate and to appreciate advanced topics. Interesting point that Rashi points out. You know, we always wonder why a girl has her bas mitzvah a year before the boy. So Rashi seems to offer a solution to that quandary. He says, an isha is mamaheres. It's around halfway down the Amud. Ubitinoikis, says Rashi. Shehi mamaheres lahavi koyach. She develops quicker than the boy. She'ena mateshas koyach b'libun ha'toyer, because she's not involved in Torah learning, which sort of weakens a person's guf, strengthens and reinforces the neshama. But the guf sort of lags behind. He's weakened by intense Torah learning, which the boys are involved in. Therefore, they have to wait longer for their body to fully develop and mature, whereas the girl had that advantage. She's a year ahead. Interesting, Rashi. Okay, Amar Abaye. Umrali aim, my aim, my care mother told me, Hai bar shis. She gave me some medical advice. This 6-year-old, the Tarkulei Akrava, who was struck by a scorpion b'yoyma de mishlam shis, on the day that he turns 6, that's a very dangerous juncture. Lo yichaye, the child will not live, Rashi learns, unless you administer emergency aid. Maya suse, what's the most effective remedy? Mirarta de daya. You feed him the gall of the daya bird, chibrasa, a white daya bird, v'shichra, mixed with beer, v'shvaye, we rub it together, v'nishgaye, and we give it to him to drink. Tosfos learns, well, after he's bitten, after the fact, it's over. What the Gemara asks about remedy means in advance, in order to immunize and vaccinate the child. You apply this formula and that saves him. Furthermore, Haibar Shata, you have a 1-year-old, the Tarakle Zibura was struck by a bee. Biyayma de Mishlam Shata, on the day of his birthday, Lo Yichaye, he will not live. Maya Suse, what's the remedy? Atzvasa de Dikla, this material that grows around the base of the palm tree, but Maya mixed with water, the Shvaye, rub it together, and Shkaye, give it to him to drink. Omar Katina, Kalamachnes es Bnoy, Pachos ben Shesh. If a father insists on getting his boy an early start, brings him into the cheder below 6 years old, he's not yet ready for it. Rotz Achrav is going to go chasing after him. He's going to have to put a lot of effort in trying to maintain his health due to his weakened state of health due to this overburdening in the yeshiva. He's not up to it yet. Don't overburden him. Rotz Achrav ve'ein magi. He's going to try to catch up to him. Rashi says, Lahavroisa, Lachyoisai, to fix him up physically, and he's not going to be successful. A child's going to be totally weakened from this traumatic experience of being taken to the yeshiva prematurely. Ikad Amri, it was another version. It's actually a positive twist. Chaverov, this boy who got a head start, his friends are going to be lagging behind intellectually. Rotzen, Achra, Ve'ein Magi, Noisai, they're going to be chasing after him and not being able to catch up with him intellectually because of his advanced Torah knowledge, because he got that head start. V'taravayu isnu, and the truth is that both positive and negative elements are present in this child. On the one hand, chalish, he's weakened relative to his friends, v'gomer, but he's very learned. V'boyis ema. Another pshat would be, it depends on the situation. Should a father introduces his child at a young age or not? Well, it depends how healthy, how strong the kid is. Hadakachish, if he's a rather weak child, then take your time. Hadabari, but if you see that he has that strength, he's able to handle it, then why not? And actually, it benefits him. He's going to be way ahead of the game in terms of his learning. Another halacha from Usha. B'Usha, when the Sanhedrin was stationed in Usha, they introduced the following halacha. If an Isha decides to sell her properties, a property which she inherited from her father, which now really belongs to her, but the husband has the pay raise, right? And actually, upon her passing, he will get that property. So she sells it off in his lifetime, despite the fact that he has a sort of a lien on this property. Umeisa, and then she passes away. The husband has first rights, first claim, first lien on this property, and he can go and take it back from the buyer. He encountered Lerabavo, Davakoi, who was standing Vuchlusa de Usha, amongst the crowd in the town of Usha. Omar Ali, he asked Rabavo, Man Mora de Shmata de Usha, who's the one who presents all these halachis? From Usha, Omar Ali, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, he's the source of all these halachis. So he was so excited to hear the name attached to the halachis, which is a very vital component in learning Torah. We all know the Mishnah in Perkei Avos tells us that Torah is meant to be associated with its source, the one who created the Torah, the one who initiated, the one who presented this halacha. It relates to him and identifies with him. He sort of gets credit for it. It's his part of Torah. Maybe Gula Lo'ilam, he meant to always reference the actual source. So once he heard the name, he was all excited. Tana Minei Arboin Zimni. He heard it from him 40 times, over and over, until he was clear with his name, Budamile, and it appeared to him, Kimanda Manchali, because he says, oh, it's sitting in his pocket, in his money bag. Meaning, he internalized this detail. There's a pasuk in Tehillim Perek Kuf Vav, which reads as follows. Ashrei Shemrei Mishpat. Lucky are those who safeguard justness, Oisei Tzedakah B'Chaleis, one who performs charity all the time. Well, how's that possible? You run out of money sooner or later. V'chi efshe la'asei Tzedakah B'Chaleis. How is it possible to perform Tzedakah at every given moment? The answer is, Dor Shurabu Seinu Shebe'Yavna. When the Sanhedrin, when the Yeshiva was in Yavna, they presented as follows. Some say it was actually Rabbi Lazar. Tzedakah all the time is Zehazon Bonav Abnoisav K'shein Tanim, feeding your sons and daughters when they're young. That is a real tzedakah. Charity begins at home. That's a tzedakah b'chol eis. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omar, another example is Zehamagadol Yosayim v'yosayim b'zeich beisei, one who raises an orphan boy and a girl in his home, Masiyon, and come time for marriage, he marries them off to each other or to others. That is a tzedakah b'chol eis, raising yosayim. That's a constant chesed. Hoin va'isha b'veisoi v'zit kosei medes lad. Here's another pasuk in Tehillim. You can maintain your wealth. You don't have to lose your wealth, but you're still doing tzedakah all the time. Isn't that an oxymoron? Rav Huna, Rav Chizda, they explained as follows. Chadamar, one explained, how do you provide and give and still maintain? If one learns Torah and then gives it over to others, you actually don't lose anything. The Marsha indeed points out, you actually gain. As the Gemara tells us, Mar Makis, Umi Talmida Yosim Yerkulam. A Rebbe gains from his Talmidim, from interacting with his students, more than anything else. So giving is really gaining. V'chad Amar, the other one explained, an example of holding on to your wealth, but still giving it to others. Zeh Kosev Teira Nevi'im M'Ksuvim Mashil L'Lachem, one writes the Tanakh for himself, and then allows others to use it. So he has it, but he's still sharing it with others. The Pasuk says, Re'ei Banam L'Vanecha Shom Al Yisrael, when you go to merit to see grandchildren, it creates peace. What's the connection? Rabbi Shoban Levi, Kivan de Shebanim Lebanecha. Once one merits to see his children giving birth to their children, Shalom al Yisrael, Shdalei Asel de Chalitza v'Yibam. It brings about peace. You avoid the whole Chalitza issue and Yibam issue, which creates conflict and machlekes. He wants, she doesn't, etc., etc. When we have children, then there's no point of Chalitza. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omar, Kivan Shebanim Lebanech, Shalom al Dayani Yisrael. When people have their children, the Dayanim, the judges, are sort of uninvolved in allocating the inheritance, the Lo Yosil and Tsuya, which avoids conflict and machlekes. Because when one has children, it's pretty clear where the nechassim go to his children. Otherwise, he has to begin allocating, and then the fun begins. Zeh midrash darash blood of nechachamim. So in the Mishnah we learn that there are two takanis inherent in a ksuba. Takana is ksubas benin dichrin, which means that the isha wants that her nedunya, the items that she brings into the marriage, should eventually be transferred to her set of children. Let's say she has her own set of children and he has his own. She prefers that her kids get it. This way it stays in the family. This was enacted in the ksuba. It's called ksubas binin dichrin. The zecharim boys, the boys will accept, will collect, will receive her ksuba upon their death. Meaning if she dies and the husband takes over and then he dies. So instead of the family splitting everything, her ksuba materials are directed to her children. That was one takana. Another takana is that he obligates himself. A man obligates himself that upon his passing, his daughters will be supported, will be fed using his assets. Yosef, Rav Yosef, Kameda Rav Hamnuna. Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Hamnuna, Yosef, Rav Hamnuna, Kamar, and he was listening to Rav Hamnuna speaking as follows. Just as we know that it's an established halacha, that when it comes to the boys being yerush, the iksuba of their mother, it only applies when there is karka. That's the halacha, as we're going to see later on Daf Tzadik Aleph. Kach, likewise, we parallel that to the other takana in the ksuba, which is the mezoinus for daughters. Ein abonus nezoinus, elamina karka. They only get what they need if there is karka, because fact is, a proper shibud, a lien, is only really effective when there's karka. That's the way it goes. You have real estate, and you can apply a lien. Real estate is not going away. It's not running away. It's not going anywhere. That guarantees your claim. So typically, a shibud, a claim, is applicable to karka only. And therefore, Rav Hamnuna says, look, just as by the ksubas benin dichrin, it's only when there's karka, the mezoinus for bonis, only when there's karka. Now, it wasn't clear. He didn't explain that the Yerusha of Bonim referenced here is specific to this nutakana of the ksuba of their mother. So Avash Alei, Kuli Alma, everybody was in an uproar. What's going on? They thought that Rav Hamnuna simply was speaking about a regular Yerusha, that boys are only Yerush when there's karka. What do you mean? The Shavik Ara, a fellow who passes away, leaving behind karka. Who? Only in that case, the Yarsi Lebnei, will his children get that karka as Yerusha? The Loi Shavik Ara. But a fellow who leaves no karka behind, there's no Yerusha. What do you mean? Le Yarsi Lebnei, his sons will not be Yerushim? What do you mean? Yerusha is synonymous with karka. Amar Le Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef explained, he sort of elaborated to Rav Hamnuna, V'dilma, I have an idea, probably, Ksubas benin dichrin ka'amar mar. Probably, Rav Hamnuna, you was referring to a very specific type of Yerusha. The Ksubas benin dichrin, and that needs karka, not a regular Yerusha. Amarle, so Rav Hamnuna was satisfied and impressed. Mar, referring to Rav Yosef, you, the Gavar Rabu, who was a great man, Yoda my Kamina, indeed, you fully understood what I had in mind. And you calmed down the audience. Omar Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef. Here's a story. Rav, right? The Amora Rav, Zon, he provided for girls after their father's passing, Mechiti de Aliyah, using wheat which was sitting in the Aliyah. Now, there are two ways to learn what happened. Iboilu. So the following question was asked. What was Rav doing? You see, there is mezainis, regular sustenance, and there is something called parmasa, providing for their wedding needs, which is also something that they can take from the assets. Rav was zon, right? He provided. From what? From the grain sitting in the aliyah. Iboilo, parnasa have you? Was this their wedding provisions? Umay aliyah. And when he said the word aliyah, he meant Meiluya de Av. It's a lashon of appraisal based on the understanding, the way Bezdin, you know, appreciates the father as to what he had in mind, you know, based on his standard of living, what he would have given to his daughter had he been alive. Ukadu Shmuel, this is fully consistent with Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, the Parnasa, when it comes to this type of Parnasa, Shaman Ba'av, we estimate their father's mindset. Oidilmo, that's one way to look at it. Oidilmo, maybe Mizaini Mamish. This was simple, basic sustenance. Hava, Umay Aliyah. When it says he gave them from the grain of Aliyah, what does that mean? Midvarim Toivim, a reference to the good words, the Nutakana Shenemru Ba'aliyah, which was said in the upper floors, meaning there was some sort of Nutakana introduced by the Chachamim while they were sitting in an Aliyah, in an upper floor. The Amar Vitzel Bar Yosef, Ba'aliyah Iskinu, up in the Aliyah, they were misakin, that although, strictly, halachically speaking, a girl will not get her mezoinus unless there is karka, as explained before. But the Chachamim changed that. They decided, let's provide for them regardless. Hiskinu sheyu bonis nezoinus min hametaltlin, that the bonis can take their mezoinus even from metaltlin, from mobile items. It doesn't have to be karka. So that's the question. What did Rav have in mind? Was it parnasa? And that certainly you collect even from a tatlan, or was it more of a controversial type of psak halacha, even mezainos, based on the nutakana? So although originally it was only karka related, but it was changed into metatlan. Tashma, here comes a right. That what? That even metatlan can be used for this purpose. Biyade, in the hands, in the possession of who? The Rabbi Benoi, that was his name, Achva, the brother, the Rabbi Chir Bar Abba. Havu metaltlin de yasmi. He had in his possession metaltlin of Yisraim. Also the Kamei de Shmuel. So they came to Shmuel because the daughters needed parnasa. Omar lay. So Shmuel instructed Rabbi Benoi, who had this metaltlin, zoin, provide for their needs. Oh, now, my love, should we not assume, since he used the word zoin, which is typically associated with mezoinos, right, he was a dayan and he was giving a psak halacha, he should have been very careful in how he was presenting, expressing the psak halacha. The fact that he used the word zoin, explains Tosfos, indicates indeed that it was mezoinos. My love, the mezoini. Ukder Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, this was mezoinos. And he instructed them to use metatlan in accordance with Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, severely, that was his opinion. That what? That in accordance with the Nutakana, we use metatlan for mezoinos. And therefore, perhaps, it's probable to assume that Rav as well would follow this halach. Says the Gemara, Loi, no, perhaps not. Hasam la parnasa avoy. Maybe, in fact, it was parnasa, it was not mezoinus. Ushmol tamei, and Shmuel will follow his shita. Damar Shmuel, parnasa, shaman ba'av. Shaman ba'av. When it comes to parnasa, it's all about what we perceive the father would have wanted to do in terms of his daughter's wedding provisions, in which case the assumption is that he would have used his metatlin as well, therefore we can access those items as well, but when it comes to mezoinus, perhaps we have to stick to the ikar takana, only karka. Hava uvda ben Nahardo, there was a story that took place in Nahardo, v'dun daini de Nahardo, and the dayanim of Nahardo instructed them to feed the daughters using metatlin. V'pumpadisa, there was another story in Pumpadisa, V'agbi Rav Chana Bar Biznas, Rav Chana Bar Biznas allowed the daughters to collect mezoinus from metaltlin. But Rav Nachman was very unhappy. Amalu Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman tells them, Zilu Ahadru, go give back the money. Maybe he was telling the Dayanim, or the daughters. V'iloi, but otherwise, Magbina Luchula Padnaicha Menaicha, I'm going to take away your Padnaicha, your palace, I'm going to take away your homes. Hurry up, give back the money. Rav Ami Rav Asi. So Rav Ami Rav Asi suffer lemezan metatlin. They figured they're going to provide mezoinus using metatlin. Amul Rav Yaakov Ar Idis, he told him, how can you do that? Milsa. This is a halacha. The Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish. Both Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish refused to carry out this halacha. Atun Avdin Ba'uvda, you're going to carry it out. Halacha Lamaisa, don't do that. Rav Lazar, Sovar, he figured, lemezlin metatlin, to provide mezainis from metatlin, amar lafanav, Rabbi Shimon ben Eliyakim. So he turned to Rabbi Elazar and he told him like this, Rabbi, ideani b'cha, I know with certainty that your direction is as follows. Your motive is not based on strict halacha. She'ein midas hadin ata oisa. You're not following the strict halacha. You know that it's not really meant to be done api halacha. Ela midas rachmanus. You're just implementing compassion. And the Maharam Shif says, the Marshal says, that he wasn't really compelling them to support their sisters using metaltan, but it was just the fine right thing to do. He was convincing them this is the right thing to do. So I know this was your your attitude. It's not halacha l'maisa. You're doing advising them to go the extra mile. But you have to be careful. You know why? Because it can be misunderstood what you're doing. Elo shema yira talmidim. Maybe talmidim are watching what you're doing. They're going to see v'yikbu halacha l'deris, and they'll establish this as an accepted fact l'deris for all generations. You have to be careful with what you do and how you do it. Ahud asal kamed Rav Yosef, a fellow arrived to Rav Yosef. Amar lahu, so he Rav Yosef tells them, havalo, give the girl mezoinis mitamri da budya, using the date sitting on the mat below the tree, meaning there's something which is totally detached from the ground, so she can access even metaltalin. Amar li Rabbi tells him, what do you mean ilu bal chayv hava? Even if this person was a real bal chayv, a creditor who can actually extract properties that were sold after the loan was issued, right? Would Rebbe provide for him in this manner? Meaning, would the Baal Chayv have access to Metatlin? Of course not. So why would you give it to the girl? A Shibud is meant to be applied to Karka. Amar Lacy said 100%. I didn't mean something detached. When I spoke about dates on the mat, I meant the Chazi. It's fitting. It's suitable Lebudya for the mats. Kamina, that's what I meant. Meaning, it's about to fall off the tree. It's about to land on the mats. You can give that to the girl, because that's connected, that's karka, safe, but ultimately, once it's about to shed off the tree, is something which is about to be chopped off, kigaz is dumb, in halacha, we treat it as though it's been detached, it's called metatlin. Answer is, the trichel adikla kamina, we're speaking about something which still needs to grow on the tree, that's what I meant to say, and that has a din of karka. The bottom line is, we had several takanas of usha, stuck a maximum of 20%, this way you don't have to become a burden on the tzibur, don't overdo it. We had about not overdoing in terms of teaching children. We spoke about the isha who sells her nechasim, her husband come and take it away from the lekuach after misa. We spoke about feeding your children, that's the highest form of tzedakah, sharing your wealth with others, whether spiritual or otherwise, and still not losing a bit. We spoke about Parnasa, meaning wedding provisions, that comes even from a tatlin regarding mezainis, although initially the takana was only from karka, but it seems like several amiroim, etc., held otherwise, and based on a takana, new takana, which was taught to us by Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, the aliyah, the takana of the aliyah, that a bas can even draw her support using metatlin. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.